here of the back end of the first round, if that's not too confusing. Most mock drafts are suggesting that the Packers will go O-line, which makes perfect sense. Bakhtiari, unfortunately, hasn't really managed to overcome the injury troubles. And, you know, given the salary he was on, it was inevitable that the Packers were going to move on from him. It's no mean task to replace arguably the best left tackle in the league on his day when fully fit. And that's kind of what's facing Green Bay now. You know, you've seen what Jordan Love can do. They'll hope that that wasn't a flash in the pan and he can build on that next season. We know the Packers won't need to draft wide receivers in the first round because they seem to be able to pick up these guys. And, you know, there's teams around the league that just for whatever reason are particularly good at certain position groups at drafting and developing talent. And, you know, we can all go crazy over which guy looks special and which guy is first round worthy. But at the end of the day, situation and the coaching group you're working with and the players you have around you and whether they can actually develop the talent that they bring in is something that we sometimes overlook at this stage of the season. Packers, again, pretty well set on the defensive side of the ball. It's interesting that Joe Barry was the one who was who ended up making way last season and got pushed out, because I guess the feeling in Green Bay is they've invested a lot of first-round picks in that defense. They have a really young team overall, but they have a lot of young, very good defensive players, and the hole probably wasn't greater than the sum of the parts last year for them, although they did pick it up in the playoffs. Shoring up the offensive line will go a long way towards helping bolster that performance we saw from Jordan Love last season.
I'd be interested to see what the have you got the numbers there, Connor, in terms of what the outlets are suggesting in the mock drafts for the Packers there? Because
The CBS have them taking J.C. Latham, a guy you mentioned from Bama, Kieran, Bleacher Report, Kool-Aid McKinstry, a cornerback, Ringer, Graham Barton from Duke, and both ESPN and NFL Network have them taken Amarius Mims, again, offensive tackle, Georgia.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because last month at the combine, the GM could have suggested that they're very tight defensively, in particular the linebacker. The linebacker situation, although I don't think it's a strong linebacker unit in this particular draft, so maybe that's the reason why everyone seems to have that logical sense that they're going to go off until. And let's bear in mind, we've also got the Jets pick in the second round, so I think they're quite flexible around what they can do. They've got the 48 and the 51st pick in the second round with the Aaron Rodgers trade from last season. So, you know, you could argue with his best player available. Offensive line makes a lot of sense for Packers. They lost one of the most, arguably one of the most consistent players over the last 4 years in John Runyon. He's gone to the Giants, and obviously with Bakhtiari moving on and retiring, it's, well, that's necessarily retiring, but obviously time to move on from the Packers. There is holes there, so it does make most sense. Ultimately, it's going to come down to who's there from here. Is the right offensive line going to be there? But then maybe they're the dark horse. Maybe they're the wild card with those second-round picks that they potentially move up and make a bit of a splash. But the Packers don't tend to do that very often. So I need to stick offensive line unless something bizarre happens in terms of a player with real caliber falling down the line.
Yeah, I'd have to say I agree with that, Kieran. How do you see that going? And the one outlier there I think is kind of interesting is the thought that if Kool-Aid McKinstry was available, that they'd go for him at cornerback, because that probably one area defensively that, look, everyone likes to have as much depth at defensive back as they can.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they may second guess that, you know, after picking up McKinney in free agency from the Giants. You know, the Packers, they're young, they're deep. You know, they've got a quarterback in Love who they're going to try and keep upright. They've got a bright future with him. What do they need to do in this draft? They need O-line protection. I like Tyler Guyton. He's a huge guy. He's 6'7", O-tackle out of Oklahoma. And I can see them back. I can see the back going there just for no other reason than to keep Jordan Love safe, because he's, you know, everybody saw the room that he got last year, and they're going to want to try and take that away from him this year. So whether it's Guyton or whether it's another tackle, again, not to labor the point, but it's a great first round for tackles and for linemen. So look for the Packers to do that.
Yeah. And again, that's a team that we see coming up at 24 as well, no, for the Cowboys, because all of the mock drafts had the Cowboys doing some work on the O-line in the draft, because pretty much, you know, half their O-line went basically with Dan Quinn to the Commanders. So it kind of makes perfect sense. And what the mock drafts are saying for them is CBS have them taking Jackson Powers-Johnson, interior offensive lineman from Oregon. Ringer also have them going there. NFL, same player. ESPN, Tyler Guyton, the guy that Kieran's just talked about, Oklahoma, that big unit there. And Bleacher Report had them taking a Marius Mims from Georgia. So it would be a bit of a shocker if the Cowboys didn't go for an offensive lineman in the first round, according to what the mock drafts are telling us.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Jackson Powers Johnson being mentioned there is another player I love. He's center, but I think he can go in guard there as well. But I think the Cowboys have a lot of work to do. And I think when you look at that offensive line, you know, that's a start to protect the quarterback there because, yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking of the Cowboys here. I mean, I think of them, I'm thinking of a million different things they could do. But I think the offensive line really is something. They've obviously lost their left tackle there. So you could be looking at swapping your left guard to tackle, which then you could have someone like Jackson Powers coming in and playing as guard. But I think for me, that makes a lot of sense for that move to be done. And I think it probably is where they end up going.
Brian, it'd be boring if the Cowboys did exactly what we expect them to do. Is there any chance that Jerry Jones could be cooking up something special here?
I think they're in play for a quarterback. You look at the Dak Prescott situation next year.
How are you talking? That's the injection of...
It's time to kind of spice it up a little bit. You know, like, just throw the wild card in. If anybody's going to do a wild card, it's Jerry Jones. No, I look at the nature of where they are in terms of Dak Prescott. He's going into his final year. It doesn't look like there's any resolution in terms of a long-term contract. It's already been suggested there's going to be five or six teams next year. Kind of, he's going to be the most outlandish free agent next year in terms of what the contract's on the table. You could argue it's a bit similar to Kirk Cousins this year, but that got finalized very quickly. He didn't seem to even go into a bidding war where any other teams, his heart was set on the Falcons. Dak Prescott, I'd imagine, would sit back next offseason and have numerous teams come in, and straight away the Broncos are the most obvious one. You know, we and Colm have had that conversation that Sean Payton would love to get a Dak Prescott in there. But then, like, where do the Cowboys go next year if there's no quarterback? Because like, realistically, even with Dak there this year, they're going to have a good, strong season. They're going to be challenging in the NFCs because of the panel that they've got around them. And if they have a strong season and they're selecting, once they might make the playoffs or make the wild cards or whatever, they're going to be selecting potentially in that 20 to 22 range. They may not get a quarterback. It doesn't seem to be a strong enough draft next year either. So I think maybe this is the year. Is that Michael Penix Jr. or someone like that they can bring in north or give him a year, learn the scheme, and then next year he potentially could step in and take over. I know Kieran's nodding his head there. I think we've had this conversation. He's a strong fan of Penix, and maybe he sees this one as one that could make sense.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when we think of the Cowboys, you know, what do we think? We think of five huge horses, right, you know, right in front of the quarterback. So I can see them, you know, maybe getting somebody like Fuaga or Fatanu out of Washington and bolster up the O-line. Keep an eye out for Jonathan Brooks, running back out of Texas. They lost Tony Pollard. Rico Dowdle is not exactly going to set the world on fire. And Jerry, you know how Jerry likes his running backs. Doesn't like to pay him that much. Well, he does, but he doesn't want to pay him that much. Let him get a young horse and run him into the ground. So look, keep an eye out for Brooks' speed, agility. Question mark over health. He did tear his ACL the last couple of years. I think it was 2 years ago. But, you know, I think the safe pick we all know would be O-line for Dallas. But I could see Jerry doing something like that. Just upsetting a little. You know, the running back class is not hugely impressive. You know, a lot of people have it second and third round. But I could see Jerry moving up.
No, the Vikings pick at 23, quarterback the outstanding need that they need to address through the draft. But this pick, which arrives from Cleveland via Houston, was actually originally one of those ransoms for the Deshaun Watson trade. According to the mock drafts, they'll either trade with the Chargers, according to CBS, who have the Chargers using that to help them get Adonai Mitchell. Bleacher Report have the Vikings using this pick to take Byron Murphy on the D-line. Ringer have them trading with Titans, so a lot of people suspecting that they will trade this pick. ESPN again have them trading with the Chargers, and the NFL Network have them trading with the Bengals. Xavier Worthy and Tyler Guyton, the price of that trade, neither of those scenarios, if you believe that it's going to go that way. So not too many people expecting the Vikings to actually pick at 23. No, obviously, they did the deal for a reason.
Yeah, I haven't even factored them in picking in this spot either, because I think they've been loading up to make that big push to go forward. I think when you look at the Vikings team, you know, especially on offense, they've set it up. You know, they have the players there, and it just feels like they're waiting for that potential rookie quarterback to come in and kind of get going with what they've kind of put around ready for him. And I just can't see them. I don't know how far they're going to be able to get up, because there's different rumors on who they're looking for. You know, I've heard J.J. McCarthy was the original kind of pick that people are saying they're going to end up with. Now, I've even seen people saying they're somehow going to end up with Drake May. I don't know how they're going to factor it. I don't know what they're going to have to pay or how far they're going to go. But I think the Vikings will put a package together and try and get up. I do see the Chargers as being, you know, they've a new coaching staff in their new regime, kind of getting ready to go. They could look at getting a haul to just drop back that bit and really put things in place for that team. But yeah, I don't see anything for the Vikings other than a move up from this position. Where, who knows, but that's going to be fascinating to see what they actually do at the end.
Brian, how aggressive do you think the Vikings are going to be and how far could they go to get their guy?
I think they could go up as far as four. I think realistically that's the cutoff. I don't think, as much as we're here in all this conversation, but the Patriots, Tennessee moving out of the right Madison there for them. I think by and large, most people at this stage are kind of resigned to the fact it's Williams one and Daniels two, and ultimately that means the Patriots have to be comfortable with May. The only thing I could suggest there is, you know, when you're picking that tree and there's like this quarterback conundrum this year, you know, are you comfortable taking the fourth quarterback? So like some teams over the years have said, we're not going to take to quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback unless it's the one that we really want and have done our scrutiny on. You'd wonder if the Patriots have folks in Williams and Daniels and they're not the one, therefore we don't take a quarterback, and all of a sudden, you know, all bets are off and they look to make a trade. And ultimately that's where I think the Vikings come up. But even from reading reports this week, I don't even think it's going to be the 11 and 23 that would take it for the Vikings to get up. I think they would have to probably give away another asset and maybe a third round. You could be looking at 11, 23 and a third. It's a big move, but again, the Vikings have made it very clear, very evident. But they've already lost some picks as well, bearing in mind what they had to do to get in the position they've got. So it's not like they've got a wholesome run of picks to throw out there. I think someone has to be comfortable moving back, but I do think they'll find that suitor. I think the Chargers at 5 makes the most sense for them to move out. I think they'll move up. Harbaugh's been playing this J.J. McCarthy tune since he walked into the position. He's a great quarterback. I don't know what he's trying to do. His former quarterback is solid, but I mean, Kieran, when we watched the Alabama-Michigan game, we were blown away by the coverage. But a lot of people are suggesting J.J. McCarthy is a winner. He's won the championship now. He'll go in and be really effective. He kind of suits what the Vikings have done. He has that kind of Kirk Cousins similarity type about him. So for me, it's 4 or 5 to get up to, and he probably end up with J.J. McCarthy.
What could be more exciting than drafting a new Kirk Cousins, huh? That's the thing that gets every GM out of bed in the morning.
He'll be on quarterback within 5 years.
Kieran, the Eagles at 22, what the mock drafts are saying is a lot of people have them picking a cornerback. Bleacher Report, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, ESPN and NFL both say Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Ringer have them go in a slightly different direction, saying Troy Fautanu, offensive tackle from Washington. And CBS have them potentially as a candidate for Chop Robinson from Penn State, the edge rusher. I would have thought, given how that secondary played last year, and you know, we know there were issues with the defensive coordinator and they weren't happy there. But I would have thought the secondary is an area that desperately requires surgery.
Yeah, I think this is not a hard one. I think between tackle and secondary, that's their major needs. Kelsey's gone. I mean they've got Cam Jurgens. He's kind of like the natural kind of successor at center, but we all saw that dismantling in the playoffs, and it's pretty blatant that secondary, you know, corner, safety, free safety, any of those positions are vital for the Eagles to get back to where they were. They just got smoked so badly in the playoffs, and the signs were there. You know, after that blistering start they had, it was just drip drip towards the end of the season, and people were surprised, but maybe we shouldn't have been surprised, because that secondary was weak all the way around. And you know, people, you know, like you said earlier on, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. And I think somebody would fit perfectly with Philly and that vibe they have, the crowd. Kool-Aid McKinstry, that guy is tailor-made for Philadelphia. With a name like him, I could see him going there. Secondary, it's got to be secondary. Kelsey looks like it'll be, you know, Jurgens will kind of slot into that spot. The rest of the team kind of takes care of itself, but that secondary is in bits.
You agree with that, Noel, or do you see them going in a different direction?
No, spot on. I think this was the 34th ranked team pass defense last year. So, I mean, that says it all. You know, they're a good team. They have some good players throughout there. You know, obviously, Kieran mentioned that the loss of Kelsey, but I think they can they can work around that and just have to find someone else to lead that push. But, you know, I think they can fix that. But I think that secondary was dire, you know. And, you know, 34th in the league, as I say, says it all. So I think that's where they're going to concentrate. And I think they will be in a position to get a really good player in that position there. So I think that's the moves they make.
Brian, finally, we roll around to the Dolphins at 21. That's finally for this part of our pre-draft preview. We'll come to picks 20 to 11 this time next week when we look at that segment of the draft. But according to the mock drafts, Brian, Dolphins, CBS says they'll trade out of the pick with the Colts. Bleacher Report has them going for Jackson Powers-Johnson, O-lineman from Oregon, who we've mentioned, the Ringer. Sir John Newton, defensive tackle from Illinois. ESPN, Jared Verse, again, another guy we've mentioned a couple of times now, defensive end from Florida State. And the NFL Network has them taking Laiatu Latu, edge rusher from UCLA. You would think it's one of the two lines where they need to do the most work here and take the best guy available.
Yeah, and in that case, I think it's the offensive line. I think over the course of the season, too, it was really effective early on in the season when he's getting the ball out quickly, but when he's put in a situation where he's having to remain in the pocket and get the ball out, he struggled. He was, you know, forced towards the back end of the season. He was getting sacked time and time again.
When he has to think or make a difficult throw to anyone other than Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill, you mean?
Well, that's just how efficient it was early on in the season that he was able to get the ball out quickly. And maybe that's the case of they recognize the offensive line isn't at the level in which they want it to be, which is why they have to kind of tailor their offense to that. But as the season transpired and we didn't have the players available, like Hill was injured for a period of time, Waddle went out of games, they didn't have the same flow and consistency to the offense. And in games where Tua needed to be more patient, he couldn't get it going because offensive line had struggles. It's split. You look at various different components and there's really different articles. One suggests offensive line, one says the defensive line. But ultimately, this league, in particular with the team in which they've got, you're asking me what's more like to win a game for them. Is it their offense? Is it their defense? It's their offense. And to make sure that works, you've got to shore up the offensive line and give to it all the attributes and all the players around to make it really work.
Kieran, I flip-flopped badly on the Dolphins last year when we were trying to make our picks ahead of the season. I was kind of hot on them at the start and then kind of went away from them. And looking back, I think one of the reasons why they made the playoffs is they were one of the biggest beneficiaries of the Aaron Rodgers injury, which kind of paved the way in the East for them to succeed. You know, red hot starts of the season as we've kind of become a little bit used to in Miami, and then, you know, when the going gets tough and the weather changes, they just weren't able to get it done. You know, too often they found themselves in those show me something games not showing us anything.
Yeah, I mean, what we also have to remember is, you know, they lost Christian Wilkins. That's a huge blow. I mean, they have to address that. But like Brian said, O-line is vital. I mean, you gotta do whatever you can to protect Tua. The thing in Miami's favor, they play in great weather up until they have to go to Buffalo in January, and then that's when it all falls apart. I mean, they're your classic fair weather team, you know, they've all the skill position players you could want. They just gotta address, you know, the O line, safety, usual thing. I mean, you're gonna see safety and O line are gonna be the kind of themes for the draft this year, and both of those positions are gonna have to be addressed by Miami. I see somebody like Graham Burton, who was a big tackle out of Duke. He will start getting traction over the next week or two. Big bruising dude out of Duke. So look for somebody like that. I mean, we've already talked about a lot of the tackles who we're gonna, you know, who we like. So,
but I just think, Kieran, I think you're so right. Just to that point of, you know, they looked like it was particular, and I remember us talking about it at the time. There was this, I think, their penultimate game, not the Buffalo loss, which wasn't great, but when they just got beaten up by the Titans. Titans just absolutely bullied them. You're like, they seem to have done the hard bit. They have the skill players. It's, you know, in theory, the easier bit to fix and the foundation where they need to go.
Yeah, just shore up the parts that are going to help Tua make the plays, and it's not going to put him on his butt. You know, I mean, we all know what Tyreek will do, but strong O-line play, definitely a tackle, maybe an interior O-lineman, safety and corner. I think they only have five or six picks, so they're going to have to make these picks hit because, you know, they've done their work in free agency already. So we'll see how Miami goes.
Got penalized, of course, for some off-field behavior, so that's cost them in terms of their draft capital. That brings us to the end of our first look at the NFL draft, our first part of our preview. We've gone 32 to 21. We're going from 20 to 11 next week before we take the top 10 in the week of the draft itself. Thanks very much for tuning into the Irish NFL Show.